Coming up on Dig It.
When she crossed the line, I was actually filming in Windsor Great Park with Dame Mary Berry.
Oh, I was in absolute peace. I've never cried so much.
When she was interviewed by Trevor and he said, well, you're running and representing women of a certain age. And she just went straight away, no, I'm not having that phrase. I don't like that phrase. I went to Glastonbury this weekend.
You did.
Emily Uvis invited me down to the site. I tried to pick her brains. I was subtly sort of going, and Stevie Wonder, have you spoken to Stevie Wonder? Might he be? Emily is like, zip.
Joe, can I ask you a question? Do you think you and Disco Steve are in a swag gap relationship? All of that right after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello, Joe Wiley, and good morning to Nemo, who's grown.
Can you hear the purring?
Oh, stop.
I just thought I'd bring him in and show everybody what he looked like. This is 3 weeks. He's grown in
That's
3 weeks.
Quite
so
incredible.
Much. I know.
How
I
much
know.
He's grown. Look at the length of that tail. I'm laughing at the fact that give it a couple of weeks, he will be the giant.
He will be the full Maine Coon.
We won't be able to see you anymore because he'll be so fabulously huge. How are you, darling? Have you had a fun week?
I have, yeah. We were just talking on the theme of Nemo. We had a whole evening last night of trying to introduce our big cat, Kiki, and the dog and Nemo to all be in one room together without trying to do a Tom and Jerry killing each other, just kind of whizzing round and round and round chasing each other, because that's what it's like at the moment. He's caused chaos in the household, and I would love any advice from people about how to integrate a new kitten into a house without upsetting the other animals, because Django is just petrified. He's quite an anxious dog, and now without Brody there as his sidekick, he's suddenly exposed. And he's just so fearful, and he just kind of cries every time we bring Nemo into the room. He's like, oh my god, he's gonna eat me. And then Kiki has just become, she was like this gorgeous, delicate fluff ball, and now she's become this like assassin. Like, she just walks into the room, she prowls in, and she just looks at him like, I am going to eat you now. And we're like, Kiki, be nice to him. But she just wants to eat him. really.
It's the hierarchy, isn't it? They're all, you know, they're either scared or threatened. It's so lovely when you think about Django and the size of Django compared to the size of Nemo. But I suppose Nemo is quite full on at the moment, like in everything, on everything. And maybe they secretly see that Nemo is getting a lot of attention from the rest of the family because Nemo is very cute right now. And this is what it's like when a new child comes out. Along in the family, isn't it? Everybody else suddenly feels like, oh, hang on, my position within the family has somewhat changed. And I'm not getting as much attention.
Well, honestly, we've done everything we possibly can. We like put him on the floor when Kiki walks in so that she doesn't feel like we're loving him more. It is very much like having a new baby. So we're giving Kiki treats all the time. We're cuddling Django. I was lying on the sofa last night watching Squid Game and Django was just like crying at me. So in the end, I went, just climb up, come on. And he was literally mounted me. He was lying on top of me and he's a massive golden retriever. He looks like a polar bear. And even then, I couldn't comfort him enough. I had my arms around him just going, it's okay, baby. It's all right.
I'd like to see that image, actually. I can picture it. Oh, bless Nemo, the chaos you have caused.
Yeah, but also the joy as well. He's still bringing joy.
The joy. I know, they'll get used to him. It'll be interesting to see how they settle into their new family group and which role everyone takes on in a couple of weeks to come.
Yeah. You had all your family around, didn't you, this weekend?
Oh, gosh. I didn't have the whole family, but do you know what? One of my favourite things to do is when I walk in the front door is a pile of trainers in the front door and you can't sort of get past them all. And I know at that point that there's Woody is here with probably a load of his friends. And it makes me so, so happy because quite a lot in the house is just me at the moment and Wilbur, the cat. Let's not forget Wilbur. And I came in the other day and there they were, this huge big pile. He came home for a couple of days. He needed a bit of rest and recuperation after a crazy weekend at Minehead, DJing with his dad and his uncle Dennis and his entire crew. And he called me and was like, Mum, can I just come home for a couple of days, just sit by the fire with the cat? I'm like, yes, please. And he's never alone, Woody. He's always got people in tow. He's very like his dad like that. He's always with the crowd. And I love it because they come in, I go to the supermarket, I fill the fridge and I can feed them. They often make me cocktails. I came in, they're like, Mum, we're making you a cocktail.
Amazing.
Like, I've got to work. He let me take him shopping in town, which he very rarely does because Woody tends to buy all his stuff from vintage shops. I was like, please, please. And he went, Mum, can you take me shopping? I need some pants. Or his jeans are literally laced together with a shoelace. His knee is out of his leg. I was like, darling, come on. And we went shopping. We had such good chats. He's quite unique in the way he dresses. Yeah. So the things that I would be like, what about this? He'd be like, what about this crazy thing?
And I'm like, oh, God, Jude is the same. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But it's wonderful because he's so expressive in his clothes.
Yeah.
And we found some great stuff and trainers and we just had some real good mum son time and the house was full. And Gabby, his friend, told me how to make the perfect Negroni. And I realized with a Negroni, never shake it, just stir it.
Shake and not stir.
And it was great. They ate the entire fridge. We had cuddles. We had great chats by the fireside. And then they were off.
Gone.
And my heart was full. My heart was full again.
Yeah.
So that was a real good fix.
Which should be wonderfully comforting to anyone who listens to us or watches us to know that they still need you no matter what age. That's what I keep banging on about and just saying, even though India's 33, she very much needs me and I'll get those phone calls or those messages or those snuggles. She'll suddenly jump into the bed. And they're your babies forever. They really are. And they might be gone being mini adults at times, but then they return and you just get them and it's just wonderful. So people, if they're getting scared and they're getting paranoid that their kids are growing up and they're moving away and they're never going to see them again, you absolutely will. They will always need you. Fact. By the way, if you're enjoying hanging out with us every single week, being part of our gang, part of our digging community, then make sure that you are subscribed on YouTube. So subscribe on YouTube or hit follow on Apple or Spotify. It's very, very easy, but sometimes you need these things pointing out. So it's subscribe on YouTube, hit follow on Apple or Spotify. And then the latest episodes will simply pop up as they appear every week. Hey, I went to Glastonbury this weekend.
You did?
I did a show in Froome at the Cheese and Grain, which is one of my favourite venues to play. It's so lovely. And then Emily Uvis invited me down to the site to just have a look around. And it's like, it's Glastonbury, but naked with no clothes on, nothing at all. The pyramid stage, absolutely starkers. So you haven't got any of the scaffolding that goes on around it, none of the platforms. It's literally the bare bones of the pyramid stage. And it looks so ridiculously small. You can't believe that you've had the likes of, oh, I don't know, Dolly Parton, Lionel Richie, Adele, Coldplay, Arctic Monkeys, doing all those amazing shows there. I think if you're watching this, you can see a photograph of me standing in front of it. And it looks, can you see what I mean? It looks so insignificant amongst like these fields, and you're trying to look out and locate where the different stages are, where Shangri-La might be, where the different areas, the left field and the dance tent. And you can't make sense of this, of the area at all. It is literally fields with a bit of a pyramid in the middle of it.
I've been there when the festival's not on. It's sort of gobsmacking,
yeah,
how completely different it is. And you're right, the scale of it, because walking around Glastonbury amongst all those fabulous people and everyone singing and dancing and laughing, the trek from, you know, down by the pyramid, if you are going up to Shangri-La, sometimes it feels like it can take days,
yeah,
to get there. And then it's so worth it when you get up there, but you feel like a whole kingdom away because they've curated it so brilliantly that you go to all these different lands within the festival. Yeah. And when people ever say to me, oh no, I don't know if I can handle Glastonbury, I'm like, go to Glastonbury. If you like festivals, it is the best. It is the best. There is nothing like it. Nothing will ever come close. And there are loads of festivals that I love, but Glastonbury is the ultimate.
Yeah.
And you're so right. When you see it as it is intended, you know, as a working farm, and it's so peaceful when you're there, it's so hard to think of all those crowds are there and this incredible world that is created by this wonderful family and everybody who works on the festival.
It's a real testament to all the people, all the creatives and their vision and how hard they work. And so we were there, it's what, November now, and they were saying, this is Chris Salmon, who works with Emily, and Emily, yeah, and they were saying, God, normally at this time we'd be really busy, we'd be trying to get the lineup, yeah, out, and we'd be working away. And, you know, you have to realise that they work at Glastonbury all year round. Every single month there is something to do. And Emily was like, do you know, it's actually really quite nice to have a fallow year just to catch my breath. We're in a good position. We've got headliners booked for next year and the year after when the festival comes back. So they're feeling pretty good. But you could see she just had this air of being a very relieved woman, really relaxed and just, yeah, enjoying her life, which, you know, is consumed by Glastonbury. She gives so much of herself for all of us to have this amazing experience. And she was very chill. And she said that Michael is very well at the moment. He's 90, just had his 90th birthday. And she said he's a sound mind. He's really in a good place and still enjoying being at the farm. They all live on Worthy Farm. You know, it's a beautiful place to be. The long drops are still there. India was with me. She used the long drops. We thought of you. You feral weirs, you.
They must have smelt a little better than when everybody's there.
Yeah, they were pretty fragrant. But it was an amazing thing to do. It was really, really lovely. I tried to pick her brains. I was subtly sort of going, and Stevie Wonder, have you spoken to Stevie Wonder? Might he be? Emily's like, zip, nothing is coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, you can't get anything out of her.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break for some ads, then we'll be back.
If you'd prefer these episodes ad-free, why not become a subscriber to The Potting Shed?
You'll get longer episodes, you'll get bonus content and early access to our live shows when they happen.
But most importantly, you'll be supporting the show.
Yep, to subscribe, head to digitpod.co.uk or tap the link in the show notes. Now, Zoe, I don't know about you, but this time of year always feels a bit slash a lot frantic.
Completely. There's this expectation to be everywhere for everyone, kids, friends, work. I know Christmas is all about giving, but I think we've earned a bit of receiving, don't you?
Absolutely. Sometimes we're juggling so much that we forget to actually look after ourselves.
Menopause Your Way at QVC is the perfect place to find that moment of calm. From indulgent self-gifting with L'Occitane, Elemis and Molton Brown, to advice from menopause experts on sleep and relaxation.
I love that they've created a whole section dedicated to women in midlife, especially those of us in that so-called sandwich generation, taking care of everyone else and often putting our own needs last.
Exactly. And their shop by symptom tool makes it really easy to discover what might actually help, whether that be product for peaceful sleep, skincare to make you glow, and loads more.
The most thoughtful gifts are the ones that you actually treat yourself to.
I've got a few on my self-gift list, like the Aveda Rosemary Mint Shampoo for sure. It smells heavenly.
And also, I'm loving the Neon Magnesium Body Butter, which is just pure bliss. Remember, with QVC's extended money-back guarantee, you've got until the 31st of January to decide if it's right for you.
To explore more, search menopause at qvcuk.com and don't forget to use the code QDIG10 for £10 off your first purchase over £30.
That's QDIG10, QDIG10 for £10 off your first order over £30. For full terms, visit the QVC website.
Give the gift of calm to someone you love or yourself.
Dig It is sponsored by Visit Scotland and TripAdvisor. Zoe, when was the last time you went to Scotland and what did you love about it?
Last time I went to Scotland was last year. I did a little driving trip where I went to the Isle of Skye just on my own. Had the most amazing time driving around all the locks and the scenery. And so, yeah, I drove onto the Isle of Skye, explored all the little bays and all the shops. And Scotland to me is magnificent scenery.
It's magnificent, isn't it? My daughter India and Alex, her boyfriend, did a trip all around the different islands and they came back and the photographs made me so envious. Steve and I are just absolutely determined to go on our own journey to go and see these incredible beaches. I honestly thought they could have been in the Maldives or some remote kind of Isle of Scilly, but it wasn't. It was Scotland. They went to the Isle of Arran. The beaches were white, like the sand was white. The sea was turquoise crystal. It was absolutely breathtaking. They're both big foodists, so they were just so excited about eating oysters. Like you said, apparently there was a castle by the ferry port to Arran where they were eating mussels and clams, and they said it was one of the best experiences when it comes to eating that they've ever had in their lives. They loved it. They were just waxing lyrical. It's just made me really, really keen to go and explore Scotland myself.
Also, after watching Traitors, you know, when the guys are all out doing the missions, those amazing drone shots of the scenery, you know, one minute in Scotland, you can be in fantastic forest. The next, you're exploring the Munros, doing a lock tour, going around. I remember going to Oban and going to the distillery and being taught how to drink whiskey properly.
And you needed teaching.
So much. Yes. Well, I needed teaching. You know, you don't drink it as a binger.
No, true.
And it was so enjoyable and having fresh oysters. Oh, wonderful. But there's so many areas of Scotland that I've still yet to see. A dream has always been to go to the Fife Arms in Braemar and, you know, explore the Cairngorms.
Oh my God, my grandparents you've just reminded me, like, these memories. My grandparents used to talk about the Cairngorms all the time and their trips to Scotland, and they used to drive and they had an old Triumph, and this would have been in like the 60s, and they'd drive from the Midlands, from Northampton, all the way up to Scotland, and they would just do this odyssey staying, I guess, in B&Bs. That's probably what they did at the time, but they talked about it all their lives. So I would like to do some kind of a pilgrimage as well and see the Cairngorms. I don't actually know what to expect.
I know. I think it's absolutely stunning. To explore more, go to tripadvisor.co.uk/Scotland.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hey, we need to talk about our friend Sarah Cox.
Sarah,
the most incredible thing last week.
Girl.
I think she just became a national treasure for starters, but she impressed so many people with A, the feat that she did. I think it was way tougher than she ever imagined it would be. Having heard her at the beginning of this week, and she was talking about how she couldn't even stand on her feet because her legs are so swollen, her feet are so swollen, she can't walk.
And her toes,
so I think it was,
yeah, and her shins.
Yeah, it was way tougher. So she did over
135 miles. Yeah.
About 30 miles a day.
Yeah, it was an ultra marathon a day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And she went out so strong. She trained with Professor Greg White. He is the best of the best.
Yeah.
But I guess there's only so much training you can do with a challenge like this. Mm. And only, you know, often they come to you and say, right, you're going to do it. And you've only got a certain amount of time to train in. And you've got she's got her kids and she's busy working.
She's on the radio, yeah.
So, and I was really impressed with how much training she had done. But in a way, I think nothing really can prepare you for these challenges sometimes and just how hard they are. And I kept hearing her saying, whoever came up with this route, because it was so hilly.
Yeah.
She spent so much time. She'd get down one and then she'd be up another.
I thought she would walk a lot of it because that is inevitably what happens. But she just kept on running as much as she possibly could in between saying hello to everybody. And that, I think that really stood out for a lot of people, how kind she was and how engaged with everybody and how grateful she was. All these people were coming out and shouting encouragement and lining the streets. So she just spent the whole time kind of high-fiving and doing thumbs up and then running, then doing interviews on the radio. It was just such an impressive feat. And we did, we were kind of checking in and going, oh God, how is she doing? How are you doing?
How is she doing this?
God.
I think this was the thing that's so amazing about, you know, following someone doing a feat like that and being able to check in with her, everyone listening on the radio and following on socials, is that we kind of went on that journey with her. And you suddenly, especially when you know someone and she's so confident and she's actually pretty fit and sporty, but suddenly hearing your mate really start to struggle, and you and I were checking in with each other and you'd messaging her at the end of the day being like, are you all right?
Yeah.
Because you could tell how broken she was. And then knowing that she was in pain and agony and knowing that it was getting harder and harder each day to carry on, it was really worrying. I was really worried about whether she would get through it. And you couldn't help but be so emotional. And then when she saw her sister and when her brother turned up, you know, we all know those feelings when you're struggling and you see or hear from a member of your family, that's when you go. And when she took the phone call from her mum and her little face,
oh my God,
all those
wobble
moments, you just saw her vulnerability and how tough that was for her, and checking in with various members of the team. And they were all really worried about her, you know, and so proud of her for getting through that. When she crossed the line, I was actually filming in Windsor Great Park with Dame Mary Berry, of all people, and the whole crew, because there were quite a few people on the crew who'd worked with her. It's like, just checking in where she is. And then she crossed the line. We're like, she's done it. And when I saw that footage of her running into the arms of her family, her kids and her husband,
yeah,
I was in absolute peace. I've never cried so much listening to anyone's challenge. I don't think I sobbed so much last week for her. And what an astonishing amount of money that she has raised with the Radio 2 listeners, all the people who supported her along the way.
It really struck a chord, I think, with lots of people more than ever before. I think because the struggle was real and the weather was brutal and you could see just how difficult it was. But also the stories that we were hearing on the radio were heartbreaking more than ever before. The things that people are going through on a daily basis and the medical intervention that has to happen with people, the poverty that people are living in, what their lives are like. And it just really, really struck a chord. And also what's struck a chord when she was interviewed by Trevor and he said, well, you're running and representing women of a certain age. And she just went straight away, no, I'm not having that phrase. I don't like that phrase. Women over 50, I thank you very much indeed. And it just, and from then on, there were just so many messages from women and girls just saying, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know what you thought about that phrase, women of a certain age.
I thought it was brilliant. And Trev, can I just say, Trev is such a gorgeous man.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah, of course.
It's just a phrase that people use, isn't it? Yeah. I don't think he meant anything by that, but it was so good that Sarah said, hang on a minute, I'm just going to put you up there. You know, it's not women of a certain age, because you don't say, do we say men of a certain age or men of a certain age?
You say middle-aged men and grump. I don't know. We do have stock phrases that seem to be left over from the 70s.
Yeah.
They're just kind of in the vernacular.
Exactly. We're not women of a certain age. We're women over 50 and we are
women
living life to the full. And, you know, women over 60, over 70, over 80. You know, we're talking about, I was with Dame Mary Berry. She is 90. She is so much fun. She has so much energy. She is still working so hard. It's like, it is a number, and to get rid of that kind of connotation of women of a certain age is so good to do. So well done, Sarah.
Language is so powerful, isn't it? It's really important to kind of point things out sometimes and just to shift perspective.
Exactly. And I'm constantly, but you know, my kids will say, Mom, you know, let's reword that. Let's think about that in a different way. I'm like, oh yeah, you're absolutely right. Because we're all guilty of it. There are things that I say, phrases I use that I think, actually, yeah, let's think about what that phrase means and let's maybe reword that. So it's good that we're all learning. But yeah, go Sarah. Yeah. She needs to be damed.
She does need to be damed. She absolutely does. Being a woman of 60 is very different to being a woman of 50. That's what I was reflecting when she said that. I was like, oh God. Yeah, being 50 is actually fine. Being 60, you definitely hurt more. Definitely, I feel a very different person to 10 years ago. It's quite extraordinary because I did lots of swimming over the weekend, and because life has been so busy, I've been looking after my mum and doing lots of stuff. Yeah. And so I haven't had much time to do much exercise. And then just recently, the exercise that I've been doing, I really feel it in my body. And I keep thinking, oh, it's just a phase. It's just a phase. It's not, you know, it'll pass. As soon as I get fit again, it'll be all right. But I'm finding it harder and harder. And I don't know whether other people find that, whether that is a thing or whether it's just my creaky old arthritic bones. But it's definitely, definitely taking its toll on my body. Like my shoulders hurt. I know we whinge about our bodies all the time, but it really does impede what I do. Like I can't swim like I did 2 years ago, which is driving me crazy.
Is this something do we adjust to this? Because I've sort of had this with my hip recovery, my shredded tendon, which does seem to be a bit better. And I started this week for the first time to try and lift some weights because I've just been doing a bit of Pilates and quite gently while it sort of recovered. And then the last couple of nights, having done sort of, you know, Romanian deadlifts, was just with a 7 rather than an 8 kg, just like, let's do it a bit lighter and let's see. And then my hip the last two nights, I'm like, oh, so what does this mean? Does this mean I shouldn't do that anymore? Does it mean I've just got to build that up again? It is that thing of, is this something we just get used to as we get older, that there will be slightly more restricted in what we can and can't do? Or
because I've seen the way my mum has gone downhill so unbelievably rapidly. It's terrifying. But then I went and saw my auntie over the weekend. She lived near Glastonbury, and Thelma is 90 in a month's time, and I hadn't seen her for years and years and years, and she was unbelievably sprightly. Like, she leapt up to answer the door. I said we were going to come yesterday, and she went, oh, I wouldn't have been here yesterday, I was working at M&S. And she works on the tills for 7 hours. She does a 7 hour shift. She's going to be 90 and she's there working away. It was absolutely mind-blowing to see someone so determined to be active. Like, she was saying, I still want to get out there, I still want to be busy, I still want to be talking to people, and you know, I don't want to just be sitting in my house all the time. Because I think as you get older, your lives shrink so much, you know, because you lose your friends. It gets harder and harder and harder. But she said, it's important for me to go out there and to still keep active. And I think that is absolutely essential. Dick Van Dyke,
yes, turned 100.
Yeah. And he's come up with his rules for life and how to have a happy life. And it's all about being positive. And one of the things that struck me the most was him saying, yeah, friends die, your world gets smaller. So live for the now, meet new people, engage, be happy, be positive, sing and dance, and don't dwell on the negative. And I can see that with my dad. My dad is very much stuck in looking back and looking at all the dead friends and the old times that we had, the good times that we have. And I'll sometimes go over there and he'll just be looking at photographs and it feels quite maudlin. But it's where his brain goes to. It's how he is. Whereas my mum is very much kind of like living for now, coping with everything that's going on. But I thought that from Dick Van Dyke, just about being cheerful more than anything, activating your brain, doing puzzles, doing crosswords, talking to people, talking to younger people.
He dances to breakfast, doesn't
dancing,
he?
Yeah.
He says, dance to breakfast. Yeah. And he works out 3 times a week. And I love that. He did say, you will miss your friends because they are gone, but try not to dwell in the past and live for now. And look at him. And I thought that when I was with Mary the other day, 90 years young, I would say. And I look at my dad, he's 87 and he's still, you know, planning a skiing holiday.
He's a great example.
You know, if you can get up and move your body and see people and live a full life, you know, hopefully you'll still have that energy and that outlook on life. I think there are so many incredible older people who are sort of just, you'd look at and think, you are such an inspiration.
But Dick Van Dyke is my role model. Like I read that, met all the things that he was saying. And I was like, right, I'm going to stick this on my fridge. I am going to be that person. I'm going to dance to the fridge every time I go to get some milk.
Dance to breakfast.
I'm going to be more cheerful more of the time. And he's a great example. And so is my Auntie Thelma, who I saw the other day. And I know it's not possible because sometimes people do have illnesses and chronic pain, which absolutely affects what you can do and how your state of mind is. But just trying to turn everything into a bit more positive is so important.
Joe, can I ask you a question? Do you think you and Disco Steve are in a swag gap relationship?
A swag gap relationship, you say? Can you just define what a swag gap relationship is and then I can confirm or deny?
Well, let's use Justin Bieber and his beautiful wife. Is she called Hailey? I think
she is. Yes, she is, I believe.
As an example, this is where one of the people in the relationship is beautifully turned out and always sort of keeping up with high fashion. And the other is slightly more slovenly in their way. This is the understanding I have of it. Possibly haven't quite grasped it yet, but there's been doing the rounds, a lot of conversation about it at the moment. And I find it quite funny.
I know. Well, Justin is always like wearing something really quite bizarre, isn't he? And always trailing behind her, I think. Is that the way around it goes? And she looks immaculate.
I think there's a great picture to demonstrate that right now.
Yes.
She's in an absolutely divine little dress. And is he in a pair of Crocs or are they clogs, Joe?
Oh, no. We've discussed Crocs. We know the feeling of Crocs. Crocs and socks, I think he's wearing. Oh, my God.
He is wearing Crocs and socks.
Well, at least Disco doesn't do that.
If it was comparing relationships here, I am definitely the Justin Bieber in the relationship in this household. What about you and Steve?
Is he the Justin Bieber in the relationship? All I know is his stock phrase throughout our entire lives has been, I'm only ever a fashion accessory. I'm only ever your fashion accessory. That's all I am. Whenever we go out, you just want to dress me up, make me look a certain way. And then when the kids came along, it was, kids, don't forget, you're only fashion accessories, because I did really, really enjoy dressing them. And I still do to this day. Like you were talking earlier on about Woody, I'm always saying to Jude, look, or I send him photographs of clothes. I'm like, you should buy this. It'd look amazing on you. And then he turns up and he's got his vintage, like secondhand t-shirt or jumper or whatever on. And my heart sinks. I'm like, oh God, I just really want to dress my children still, even though they're 26 and 24. Yeah. I still want to dress them my way.
It's so frustrating when your kids decide to dress themselves and you're like, but I bought you these really cute things.
Yeah.
No, I'm not wearing that. I'm wearing this random outfit. Okay.
Boys, do you still want to match? I used to wear, put them in matching little jackets and they eat, you know, even now they go, you would have us matching, wearing matching jackets if you possibly could, Mum. But with Steve, I am always trying to get him to dress in a certain way. Poor thing. I mean, he loves black, he loves blue, he won't wear anything else. Sometimes he'll wear green, but no other colour whatsoever. And Damon, I've interviewed just those three. I mean, if you were to open his wardrobe, it would just be like a line of black, a line of blue, a little tiny line of green. And the number of times I've sort of held up a pink jumper or something in burnt orange, and he's just like, nah, not doing it. Or some slightly baggy trousers as opposed to his Levi 501. 501s that he wears all the time. Nah, don't feel comfortable. And I've interviewed Damon Albarn quite a lot over the past couple of years and over the years. And I really love his style because he wears, I don't know, he just wears lots. He wears a lot of chains. I can't see Disco wearing the chains. But he wears good hats. He wears really lovely jackets, really great trousers, and just kind of puts it together very, very well. I mean, he's partial to a pink woolly hat. Again, can't see Disco wearing that. And I managed to, I've asked Damon where he shops, and I've now started taking Steve to the shop where Damon goes.
You haven't. That's hilarious. Oh, I'm just going to have a look in here, darling. Why don't you try this on? Thing is, I'm looking at these pictures of Damon all dressed up, and, you know, he often looks quite potty.
I know, but I quite like that. I like more extreme clothes. I do. I really like the way he shoves all his clothes together. He's got like this really funny pink hat, like a gnome hat that he wears sometimes. But I think he carries it off pretty well.
Yeah, he does. I like that leather little bomber thing he's wearing that. Is that the gilet? Yes. So can you buy Steve things for Christmas and for his birthday and be sort of subtly introduced fashion trends to him? Does he ever take it up and be like, oh yeah, I'll try this, something new, or no?
We went to Edinburgh and we went shopping. We went to this amazing shop called Dick's, and they had very, very cool jackets. And there was, he tried on a jacket, and I think I did at one point say, oh God, yeah, I think Damon's got a jacket like that. And he bought the jacket and he looks really great in it. And it is a green and it's kind of quilted and it's like nothing he would have worn before. So I can see he's trying to be more adventurous. And he's, you know, maybe I'm pushing him in the right direction. I'm not dressing him up. I just want him to just be a little bit more kind of, you know, outlandish in his clothes, because he very much knows what he likes and that's what he will buy. And that's what he will wear. But, you know, I've maybe made him be a little bit more adventurous just recently.
It is a personal win, though, isn't it? Yeah. When you can slightly, subtly influence your partner and their items of clothing. Does he possess anything that he may occasionally wear that you're like, oh, no, please don't wear that? Or are you, because he always looks very handsome. He dresses
he looks really handsome.
Steve.
No, he does. Yeah. He absolutely does. No, he's got a really good sense of style. He knows what suits him and he looks good. I'm just trying to make him wear different colours other than blue, black and green. That's all. You know what it's like when you've been with somebody for a long time, you know what they like to wear. Like you can predict, you walk into a shop and you go, he's going to go to that jacket and he's going to like that jacket and he'll probably buy that jacket. And he would probably say the same of me as well. Actually, he laughs at what I buy more often than not. He'll be like, are you really going to go out wearing that?
Oh, dear.
But is that possible? Yes. Is that possible to put on something and for your partner to go, oh, you don't look very good in that. I don't like that. Is it possible to actually then go out wearing that outfit feeling
good?
I don't think it is.
I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. I do often have that thing, though, of shall I wear this one or this one? And then whoever answers, I generally go and wear the other thing that I wanted to wear in the first place. And, and then I get that. Why did you ask me then if you're just going to do it?
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Because like, it's nice to have an opinion. It doesn't mean your opinion is the right one. But sometimes, can I just say quickly, Joe, after your chat about clogs last week?
Oh, yeah.
You are an influencer, because I went to buy a pair of Blundstones. And after you'd bought your fabulous garden clog things that you can wear outside with a furry lining, I found myself in a shop buying these fluffy lined Birkenstocks.
Nice.
Oh my God, you've changed my life. They're amazing.
That color. They're good,
aren't they? I love them. They're my new slippers. I don't think I'd wear them in the garden because I don't want to ruin them.
No, that's
because they're so soft.
Yeah, but they're great. I love that colour. I've got them in black. They're the Boston Shearling Birkenstock. And I've got them in black and I share them with Cass. He steals them all the time. But you can't wear them in the garden because they would get soggy. And that's why the garden clog triumphs. So mine was by Holland Cooper. And I've got those clogs. I mean, they're not necessarily my style. Like the gold at the front is probably not something I would ordinarily wear. But they are so comfortable and so practical for getting out there. I just shouted but because I've got Nemo on my lap and he just bit my thigh really hard.
Oh God,
hilarious. And I've also got like a pair of mini wellies from Holland Cooper too, which are again made of rubber and they're fur lined, and I can go out there and I can yomp around the garden and do some more digging and planting or whatever it is I'm going to do.
Speaking of gardening, Pollyanna Wilkinson, one of our faves, is back with us to give us some practical suggestions for what to wear outdoors during the colder months.
Hey Joe and Zoe, so I hear you're talking about what to wear in the garden, and frankly, I mean, I think you can wear whatever you want to for gardening. I tend to live in either Levi 501s if it's dry, or if it's wet, I really like this brand called Akai, who do these amazing showerproof leggings, which I think are great. If you're getting really muddy and you don't want to get too wet, then that's what I tend to wear. In terms of your tops, whatever you want. I just tend to wear a lot of knitwear at this time of year. Then I do love a good boot. So for me, a Blundstone, particularly the 585 model, are a really great boot that frankly I wear for gardening, but I also just wear it on the sports pitches with the kids and for just general lifing. So Blundstones are a great option. Then in terms of gloves, my fave are a really thin pair by Nuwaki, because I just like to be able to feel what I'm doing as opposed to those really thick ones. And that's kind of it. That's what I wear for gardening. But I mean, frankly, it's whatever I roll out the door in.
I really, really like the idea of the leggings, because when I'm wearing jeans, they're quite baggy and they kind of, sometimes they fall down or they just get away. They're a bit clumpy, but I want to be streamlined in the garden. And so wearing waterproof leggings sounds really, really good. And also, if you wear knitwear, I get snagged on the rose bushes quite often. I don't know about you. Yeah. So something kind of streamlined as much as possible. And those Nuwaki gloves that Pollyanna's talking about, they're bright blue, I think. And I've got the winter pair, which are amazing when it gets really, really cold and you kind of scoop up leaves and doing all those jobs. But the thin ones are amazing. I think they do them in grey as well, but they're so good.
If you have a gardener in your family and you're looking for Christmas ideas, go online and look at Nuwaki. They're honestly, and they're not crazy priced, Nuwaki either. Amazing Japanese company. Joe bought me a Hori Hori. It is my favourite garden tool. In fact, my lovely friend T, she also bought me one and she said, oh, you've already got one. And I was like, no, I will use it. And that's like a weeding knife. Yeah. You can dig with it. You can plant with it. But Nuwaki are such a great gifting, you know.
They
do great hats. And also they do tools.
Yeah.
They do really good hats. They do garden wear. So they are a great label. They're brilliant.
Really good. And, you know, affordable. They've got such a broad price range. I mean, they've got stuff that's extortionate, but that's... the cat is sitting on the computer. Hang on.
The cat is protesting and saying, actually, can you finish this darn podcast now? All you do is talk to this woman and actually I need attention.
I hope we're still recording.
I wonder how many cats have actually taken, you know, international operations down by sitting on the wrong computer at the wrong time.
They love electrical things, I guess, because they're warm. Oh, and I guess because there's an image there that's flashing. So he's quite excited seeing you moving and me moving around. But now he's gone for my wires, my headphones.
Oh, he's so gorgeous.
Okay, should we do some crate digging?
Yes, please.
I have to be honest, because Sarah was doing her thing last week, and in terms of being on the radio and being aware of music, and also because of the time of year, there's not a lot of great big albums coming out at the moment. There will be. So I really haven't discovered anything new over the past week. So I've gone back in time, and I think we're just beginning to get our heads around Christmas. I know next Monday we might talk a little bit more about Christmas. So I've gone for my classic Elvis Christmas album. We were last night talking about Christmas, making plans with the kids, and trying to organise parties and shopping and when we put the tree up, all to be discussed later. But it just made me go through my record collection and find the Elvis Christmas album. And it's just him surrounded by snowy mountains singing lots of Christmas songs. Let me have a look on here. We've got Blue Christmas, Silent Night, White Christmas, Santa Claus is Back in Town, I'll Be Home for Christmas, Mama Liked the Roses. Not heard that one. So anyway, I'm celebrating Christmas in my crate digging with Elvis.
I love that. If you're celebrating Christmas with your crate digging, then I've actually gone straight to the Christmas section of my record collection, which is all the classics. There's a lot of Frank, there's a lot of Dino, there's some Elvis, there's some Ella. But the Christmas record that gets the most play in this household, also Jamie Cullum's Christmas album, which we completely love. But our favourite Christmas album in this house is Charlie Brown Christmas.
I thought you were going to say that.
Which is basically Christmas starts in our household when we watch a Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Yeah.
And we all watch that, and the lodger had never seen it. So we watched, look at this, look at it. It's so cute. The art of the, on the pictures.
It's so beautiful, isn't it? Yeah.
I've had messages from friends who've got their Christmas decorations up. And so I've got like a sort of birthday celebration with friends this weekend. And normally I wouldn't put the Christmas stuff up until December starts. But we've been driving around Brighton and there are more and more trees in windows. There are more and more lights up. There are bows above doors. There are bauble falls. And I'm thinking everyone's going earlier and earlier. And why the heck not? So I think I might. I've bought this amazing, I'll show you next week, actually. It's like a line of baubles. I got it in Waitrose. And it's like a string of baubles. And it's going to go up the stairway. And I thought, well, I can put that up for the birthday. It's just the start. The tree's not going to be up yet. So I am actually going to go early. So maybe it's good that we, and this is a great Christmas present. Christmas vinyl, Again, another lovely Christmas idea, I think. So there we go.
When is the birthday?
The Big 5-5 is on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Yeah. Do you know what? The thing I love about my birthday is I get to see all my gorgeous friends and their kids and all our kids that grown up together and celebrate. So yeah, we will have lots of fun and hopefully I'll have some tales to tell you next week.
Marvellous. Looking forward to that. Oh, it'll be lovely. Yes. If you want to know all the stuff that we talk about all the time, so we're talking about records and we talk about our clothes that we're wearing, talk about things, it's all in a Substack. So it's a free Substack letter and simple. You get a weekly email with everything from the show every single Friday. And if you want to know how to do that, link to sign up is in the show notes. So show notes has all the information. If you just want to be part of our Dig It world, everything is there. But the Substack is brilliant. It's a really good chance for us to share our recommendations with you and, yeah, just kind of tell you stuff that we like and hopefully you will like as well.
Yeah, because lots of people ask us where we get our jumpers and our mugs and our, you know, well, our paint colours are and stuff like that. So we put it all in there and it is free as well.
Yes.
And also, once you're on the Substack, there's loads of other people that we love that you follow, like Jo Thompson does lovely updates each week about gardening. Pollyanna does. She's just done a great Substack letter about roses and climbing roses. So you'll find other people you really like to follow on Substack.
That's all we've got time for this week. We'll be back again on Monday. So Monday is the date to dig in and to hear what you've been saying. We'll be answering all your questions and any general thoughts, all the gubbins that's going on in your world. You can contact us or WhatsApp us, or you can send us an email as well. All the details are on the show notes. They're all there and just your ways of getting in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you.
And if you're loving the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. It really helps other people find the show.
All right, have a great birthday. Nice weekend. Look forward to hearing all about it.
Oh yes, thank you. Yippee! 55, here I come.
Yes.
Dig It is a Persephonica production.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Four seasons greetings to you all.